Well, it's here. It's Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited. And as we come together today, we're launching into this brand new conversation called All I Want for Christmas Is. And obviously, all of us respond the same way because we know the song, right? All I Want for Christmas Is You. But what we want to do over the next few weeks is we want to take a little bit of time to examine our Christmas list. And specifically to examine our list as it comes to what we're asking for from the one who loves us most, from God. Now, I know as we get started with this that for some of you, you've never thought about that. Can I even do that? But the reality is that we put together lists for our family members. Many of us put together lists for ourselves, and you've done a really good job. I mean, you have crushed it this year at getting gifts for you. You're doing so well. Some of you are even ahead of schedule on that coming out of the last couple weeks. But have you ever brought to God your Christmas list? Have you ever thought about that? And I know for some of you think, well, wait. Are you allowed to do that? For others of you, you're thinking, wouldn't that kind of be like putting together a list for Santa? I mean, does it really even matter? Is anything going to even come of it? But one of the really interesting things that Jesus taught us about the Father is that, well, Jesus says that the Father loves, that he loves to give gifts. But listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. It says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a steak?" He says, which of you, as parents, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? He says, you understand how to give gifts. He says, if you then, though you are evil, and I love how Jesus points this out. He says, even though you're broken, you still know how to give good gifts. And then listen to how he continues. He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. And he says, I want you to understand something about the Father. The Father loves to give good gifts. And the reality is that God has actually invited us. He's invited us to bring him our list. Listen to what it says in James. And James is talking about bringing our requests to the Father. Listen to what he has to say about this as he's writing to the church. It starts off chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have." And listen to what he says. He says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." He says, you want all these things. He says, but you don't have because you don't ask God. And then he continues and he says this. He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. He says, no, I want for you to bring me your list. But he also calls us to examine our list. So let me ask you, as we get started, what's on your list? What is it that you're asking for? He says, you have not because you don't ask. What's on your list? And sometimes we ask him for small things. And as a matter of fact, I have a friend who's been praying for the Jets to win the Super Bowl since 1969. He's been praying for years and years and years. Hasn't been answered. hasn't been answered. Now I actually think he's praying that they don't win a game the rest of the season so that they can get the number one draft pick. That one's probably not going to be answered either. And sometimes we ask for small things, but then sometimes we ask for big things. For mom to get better. For the cancer to go away. And the reality is that I think for some of us, we have asked in the past, but we didn't get an answer. And it's left us disillusioned with this whole, for some of us, with the whole idea of prayer. For others of us, specifically with the idea of requests. And we hear God inviting us to bring those requests to him. And we hear Jesus talking about the Father loving to give good gifts, but she didn't get better. And it didn't go away. So what do we do with that? And what do we do with Jesus saying that and with James calling us to that? I think for many of us we've become disillusioned. And the reality is that this actually happened to Jesus as well. There were many. Listen to me. There were many who were disillusioned with Jesus. Because they didn't get what they expected. Because he didn't do what they expected. It's amazing to me how many people were with Jesus and didn't experience Jesus. It's remarkable to me how many people walked with Jesus and didn't actually see him, didn't actually understand who he was and what it is that he was doing, that didn't get to actually experience walking with God in that way. And one of my greatest fears is that the same would happen to me, that I would have the opportunity to see and to experience God, but I'd miss it. That I'd have the opportunity to be able to see and experience what James is inviting us into, to bring our requests to him. And that I'd have the opportunity to be able to see and to experience what Jesus is talking about, that the Father loves to give good gifts far more than we do. But I'd miss it. It's one of my fears for me. It's one of my fears for you, that we would miss it. And there were so many who were with Jesus but didn't experience Jesus. There were so many that became disillusioned by what they did or didn't receive from Jesus. What they did or didn't experience in him. Let me ask you something. What was it that allowed people to really experience Jesus or to miss it? What was it? What was it that caused some to know him and to truly see him for who he was, and others to miss it? What was the difference? I think it was their Christmas list. I think it was their Christmas list. What it was, listen to me, what it was that they wanted to happen with the coming of the Messiah. What they expected, what they wanted, what they longed for with the coming of the Messiah. Their Christmas list. And there were many whose list, well, their list caused them to become disillusioned with Jesus. Let me take you to one of those times. It's a remarkable story. As it starts off, Jesus is teaching this huge crowd, and then he kind of messes with his disciples for a little bit. Let me just take you there. It says this. It says, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where should we buy bread for these people to eat?" And so there's this massive crowd, and he turns to one of his disciples, and he says, "Hey, where should we get food for these guys? Where should we get food for this crowd?" And then listen what it says. He says, he asked this only to test him. He's messing with him. He's like, "Hey, Philip, where do you think we should, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." He says, "Jesus, what are you talking about? This is ridiculous. 8 months' wages, and we wouldn't even be able to give them more than a bite. But there's no way we're going to be able to feed all these people." But it continues. It says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many people?" So then Andrew speaks up, and he's like, "Hey, but I mean, there's this one kid. He's got 5 loaves of bread, and he's got 2 small fish." At which point the other disciples are like, "Seriously? Why'd you even bring that up?" And Andrew himself says it. He says, how far could that possibly go? But listen to what happens as the story continues. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. I've always wondered how this worked out. Like, does Jesus have a basket and he's just pulling things out and it just keeps going and going? I don't know exactly how it worked, but it's unbelievable what happens. It says, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Not only did everyone eat, but everyone ate to the point where there were leftovers. It's an unbelievable story, and the people are blown away. It says, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. They look at it and say, "That's the king I want." You want to know what kind of king I want? I want that kind of king. I want the king who can sit down 5,000 people and feed them with nothing. That's the king I want. And Jesus knows what their plan is, and so he actually escapes. He withdraws, and then the story continues. Listen to how it continues, because Jesus actually goes to the other side of the lake, and the people come to find him. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me." And then listen to what Jesus says. He says, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And so Jesus says, "Listen, guys, you're not here because you really believe in me. You're not here for me at all. You're here for the food. You just want more food." And then he begins to talk to them about who he is and the fact that the Father has sent him. Listen how the exchange continues. It says, when they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And so Jesus says, no, it's about knowing me. It's about the relationship that you can have with me. It's about believing in me and who I am and the fact that the Father has sent me. And then listen to how they respond. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, manna was bread that God provided for the nation of Israel when they were in the desert. They ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Literally, what they're saying to him is this. Oh, yeah. That whole believe in you thing, that whole like you and the fact that you've been sent by the Father, that's great. But how do we know for sure that you're him? Maybe you could give us more to eat. Maybe we could have, if we could just get a little more bread. You know that thing you did yesterday? If you could do that again, that would be great. And Jesus, at this point, he's like, no, you don't get it. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. And they still don't get it. They still think it's about the food. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And in this really remarkable way, as he's having this conversation with this crowd, Jesus says to them, he says, no, you guys don't get it. You guys think that what's going to satisfy you is the material. You guys think that what's going to satisfy you is the bread that I gave you yesterday. See, but the reality is that the only thing that's going to satisfy you, that's really going to satisfy you, is me. And in this unbelievable way, Jesus shares something very similar to what he shared with the woman at the well when he talked to her about living water. This time he uses the picture of bread, and he says, no, if you keep looking for satisfaction, if you keep looking for satisfaction where you have been, if you keep looking for it in the material, with her, it was the fact that she was trying to find satisfaction in these relationships with these men, with these individuals. It's about trying to find satisfaction in what it is that they can eat. He says, if you keep looking for satisfaction in the material, you're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be satisfied. But I want for you to have what really satisfies. I want for you to experience what really satisfies. And what really satisfies, it's not material. It's relational. I want for you to have that relationship with me. I want for you to know me and for you to have that relationship with the Father. But as he continues this conversation with them, the same people who wanted to make him king the day before, listen to what it says. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. The same ones who wanted to make him king the day before, well, they left. And in this moment, you see a group of people who became disillusioned with Jesus. You see a group of people who walked away from the very thing that could satisfy them. You see a group of people who saw Jesus, but didn't actually see him. Why? Well, because what they wanted for Christmas, what they wanted from the coming of the Messiah, it was material, not relational. And Jesus, in this moment, Jesus says, no, I'm not giving you any more of that. Why? Because that's not what you need. And I want to give you something so much more significant, so much more important. And in this moment, he doesn't give them what they asked for. Why? Because he cares. Not because he didn't care, because he cares. And he wants them to find what really satisfies. And it's not the material. It's the relational. It's remarkable when you look at Jesus' story, how generous Jesus is when people ask for the relational. Let me take you to another story. In Jesus, in this story, he encounters two individuals that have a very different perspective on what it is that Jesus is there to do and what it is that they want from him. It says this. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And so he comes into this home and there's two sisters, and one of them is running around trying to get everything ready. But Mary comes and sits at the feet of Jesus. And as this has happened, listen to what it says. It says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. And so the one that's busy getting everything around comes and says, Jesus, why don't you tell her to help me? Listen to what Jesus says. He says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. And then listen to what he says. And it will not be taken away from her. He says, Mary has chosen the relational. She's chosen to come and to be with me, to not just to know that I'm there, but to experience me. And he says, that I will not take that from her. I will not take that from her. It's amazing how generous Jesus is for those who are seeking the relational. And one of the things that God has taught us is this. Our experience of him, it's dependent upon what it is that we expect from him. What's on that list? And we all understand this. We all understand this. As a matter of fact, as my boys put together their Christmas list, there are certain things on that list that I know I am never going to get them. And so my son has on his Christmas list a hoverboard. I'm never going to get that for him. There's no one in our culture who needs to walk less. No one. It's never going to happen. But if he were to ask me for a bike, it would happen overnight. Overnight. Our response as parents, well, we understand it's impacted by what's on the list. And God says it's the same thing with me. And you have to understand that the material, it's not going to satisfy. I've come for something so much greater than that, something so much bigger than that. I've come for the relational. So let me ask you, what's on your list? Is it material or is it relational? What if the list needs to change? What would it look like if you were to come to God and ask for the relational? If you were to come to him and ask, God, you know what I want from this Christmas? You know what I want more than anything this Christmas? I just want to know you more. You know what I want more than anything? I just want to spend more time with you. I had a professor in school who did something very interesting. When he was a pastor, he just felt like God was calling him to spend more time with him. And he wanted to be able to give God all the time that God deserved. And so he did this interesting thing. He said, okay, God, I want for you to wake me up in the morning. And whatever time you wake me up, I'm going to pray from that time until I have to get ready for work. No matter what time it was. He said the next morning he woke up at 4 a.m. At 4 a.m. He didn't have to be at work until 9. And he said, okay, I'm going to do it. And he said it was remarkable throughout his life. And he had been doing it by the time he shared the story with us. I think he'd been doing this for over 10 years. He says, it's remarkable. Some days it'll be 4, some days it'll be 5, some days it'll be 5:30. He says, but ever since I had that conversation with God, he's always woken me up earlier than I'd ever woke up before. And my relationship with him has exploded. And I'm not saying that that's what you should do or that's what God's calling all of us to do. But what I am saying is this. It's remarkable what happens when you change, the conversation with God, when you change what it is that you're asking for. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to bring him those other requests. He wants us to bring all of the requests. But what it comes down to is this. What's the most important request? What is it that we want most from him this Christmas? Is it material or is it relational? Are you asking for more time with him? Are you asking to know him better? Are you asking to experience him more? I want to challenge you this Christmas to tweak the list, to change it, and see if maybe, the reason that we haven't experienced him answering that request is because our list was focused on the wrong things. What if we came to God this Christmas and we actually said, well, God, all I want for Christmas, at the heart of it, all I want for Christmas is you. What if the song was right in that way? Will you pray with me? Father, it's so easy when we live in a world that's so material to get caught up in that. And yet we see in story after story those who missed you, missed what you were doing, missed the power of who you were. We see that they missed it because they were focused on the wrong thing. They wanted the wrong thing. They expected the wrong thing. And I just pray that as we walk into this Christmas together, I pray that that wouldn't be our story. I pray that although you invite us to bring everything, that what we would bring first and foremost would not be the material, but would be the relational. And I pray that you would work in that and through that for us to see that you truly are a Father who loves to give good gifts, that you are a Father who invites us. Now, bring those requests to me, that we would not just know about you, but that we would know, that we would see, that we would experience you. In Jesus' name, amen.